This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Jeff Kerr. I see him in the green room. It's an overreaction Monday, and that means Jeff Kerr is in the building. Jeff, welcome to the show, man. How you doing on this Monday? The Eagles are 2-1, brother.
Yeah, I guess they're 2-1.
They're 2-1. They are 2-1. That's factual.
Yeah, that is factual. A lot of things I didn't like about that game yesterday, but you know what? They're 2-1. I said that they went 1-1 in the stretch between the Saints and the Bucks. They'd be all right. Well, I gotta man up. They're gonna be all right. But a lot of things in that game that I was not a fan of yesterday. I'll just say that.
Hit me with a couple of them, Jeff, because you know I took away. I thought Jalen Hurts rebounded. I thought the defense rebounded in a big way. But
he
you
still
know,
turns the football over. It's a problem.
Look, 6-3 games is not championship football. You're right about that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I could sit here and praise Saquon Barkley, but I already know Saquon Barkley's good. I don't need to tell anybody that. You know, I'll tell you what. I'll give a positive. Tyler Seen, I just tweeted it. 35 pass blocking snaps.
Yeah, he did a great job.
The Bryce Huff number, 0. No pressures allowed. No.
We got to get to Bryce.
You know what? I'll say that. I'll go my negative now. Bryce Huff stinks. He absolutely stinks. He's just not good. I've decided to focus this game on watching the edge rushers. Josh Sweat's going to be fine. Actually, Josh Sweat is third in the NFL in pressure.
Josh Sweat looked good yesterday. He got some pressure. Yeah, he set the edge. I thought he looked pretty good.
He was good on Monday night against the Vikings. It's just we focus on Bryce Huff and Nolan Smith so much, we kind of forget Josh Huff. I mean, Josh Sweat exists. Josh Huff. See, this is what happens when you have the last name Huff and you're wearing an Eagles uniform. You're just not good. But Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Milton Williams were tremendous yesterday. I thought Zach Bond was incredible. By the way, there's a reason why N'Kobe Dean's on the field and Devin White isn't. So
I love the way N'Kobe Dean tackles. He might be an undersized.
He got so much bigger in this upper body.
He did.
He attacks those players when he tackles. I love watching it. He's an aggressive tackler for being an undersized linebacker. I like that. I like having a little bit of dog in you as a linebacker, especially.
I cannot complain about one thing about that defense yesterday outside of Bryce Huff. I really can't. That's how well I thought the defense played yesterday.
Yeah, well, real quick. I mean, John, and I want you to give your take on Bryce Huff as well. 18 snaps, guys. Brandon Graham doubled them up. I mean, John, we talked about this in week one.
Forget about Brandon. Nolan Smith is out playing him. Like, I have no issue with Brandon Graham playing more than.
Oh, no, me neither. Brandon Graham is. I think I'm starting the campaign for Brandon Graham to return another year if he keeps playing.
He might.
Like this.
They want to pay him. He might.
Yeah, I mean, they might want to pay him because he's really holding that defense together right now from the edge.
The key is, like, Nolan Smith is at least playable in some aspects, like, even against the run. You can play Nolan Smith. I don't know what you can play Bryce Huff for.
Jeff, he had 18 snaps yesterday. He played 30% of the snaps.
I had someone tell me that his goose egg yesterday isn't an indicator of how he played. I'm like, yes, it is. He's not good. He's just a non-factor.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I'm not. I use Jalen. Jalen Carter can't wreck that game. And if you look at I'm not a stat guy, Jeff. You know that. I tell you that all the time. I don't think this is a game like you cover base, both football and baseball. Baseball's a stat game, large sample size. You are what you are on the back of your baseball card at the end of the day because you play so much, you play so often. NFL, everything's an outlier, you know, the all balanced schedule. You know, where are you in what situation? What's the context? Who you're playing against? There's so many different things, and it's so overrated. And I think that's Jalen Carter. If you look at the box score, you say, yeah, it's pretty good. He had two bat downs, two tackles for losses, no sacks. He wrecked that game.
Jalen Carter, I'll even add Jordan Davis and Milton Williams to that, but you're right. Jalen Carter was just a one-man wrecking crew.
He was unreal yesterday.
But Jordan Davis was just as good, but he didn't make those plays.
I don't know. I mean, he was better, but he wasn't as good as Jalen Carter.
Well, no one's as good as Jalen. But I'm saying, though, Jordan Davis helped stop that run on Sunday. I mean, he was
– Well, and that's another interesting thing, which I should have caught on to a little bit earlier, disappointed in myself. The way New Orleans plays allowed the Eagles to play more five-man fronts, and they're just better stopping the run
right
with those five-man fronts point where if I were New Orleans and if I were Clint Kubiak, I would have said, you know what, for this game, I got to use more receivers. I got to spread them out. But that's just not how the Saints play.
Saints are very deep at receiver year outside of Olave and Shaheed. And Shaheed's more of a one-trick pony. And I like Shaheed, but they just don't have
depth there. But to me, it's not about production. It's just about spreading them out. And then when you spread out the Eagles, they have a really difficult time stopping the run. Whereas if you got Jordan Davis in the middle and you got all those big interior bodies, they're fine stopping the run. But when Vic feels he has to go to those four-man fronts, that's when you see the big gash plays.
There was a lot of five technique yesterday, which I like a lot of it. Which, again, I'll get to some negatives here. Obviously, the injuries suck. You know, the
physical game. Yeah,
I mean, Britton Covey looks like he has a broken bone in his shoulder.
Britton, man. Nice play, gets hurt.
Yeah, nice play, gets hurt.
I will say, you know, he doesn't play like I love it. I love the vigor he has. I love the aggressive nature he runs the ball with.
Yeah,
but at some point, you got to understand, man, these big guys beat up little guys, and you're like 5'7" running into these dudes that just clean your clock, even on punt returns, whatever it is. And he gets hurt. And I'm like, you know, I'm not surprised. Maybe
I hate to agree with a lot of people, and I'm talking in the know in the NFL here. A lot of people love Britton Covey, but they're like, do we want to use a roster spot on a guy like that? Well, then again, you're not really, if the Eagles use him as a punt returner, but it is what it is, you know, with what their situation. But I think they're finding out. And they probably know this already, but I'm sure they're finding out, hey, look, Johnny Wilson can at least help out this football team. Paris Campbell can help out this football team. Jahan Dotson can help out this
football team. Paris Campbell can help? I don't know.
Who else are you Who are we going with?
Well, you know, I thought all hope was lost. That's where I give Jalen all the credit.
Yeah.
You know, when you're rolling out there for that final drive and your options are Jahan Dotson, Paris Campbell, and Johnny Wilson, I did not have a lot of hope that they were going to win that game. And
well, it didn't look like it until two Saints defenders collided into each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. It almost looked like three of them collided, Jay. It was like a big scrum of Saints players.
According to Dennis Allen, there was a miscommunication, which you don't see too many miscommunications in a Dennis Allen defense.
Which I thought is, I mean, I get it. They're going to happen in a football game. But if you think about that situation, and John just named the receivers that were on the field, in a way, Saquon's not much of a factor in that moment because you got to go 70 yards in a minute and a half. So you're not running the ball. Now, Saquon could be somewhat of a threat out of the backfield, but that's not really – or throwing the ball. That's not really his game. So really it was – Dallas got it or bust, and they let him go 60 yards, 61 yards right down the field. I was like, boy, what a collapse by the Saints defense. If the Eagles did that, we'd be on our defense.
They did that last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. And it happens every week in the NFL, which is another thing. But, you know, all right, let's get to Nick Sirianni because we had a lot of discussion with that. I'm done with the sport down stuff, Jeff. I mean,
I am too.
I'm like, come on. I mean, if you're going to base everything on results, it's easy. Yes. All right. That was successful. It's great. That's unsuccessful. That's a terrible decision. I mean, to me, that's childlike thinking. I don't know any other way to say it.
You know, John, I honestly think the mask I got at Nick Sirianni yesterday was when, and look, he realized Jake Elliott was finally on his football team and has him kick a 60-yarder. Okay, fine, but why wasn't Jake Elliott kicking earlier? That's what I don't understand.
Well, I think there's something, but I mean, if you go back, my overriding thought is, you know, this team literally changed the NFL, the organization, not this particular team. Well, yeah,
and back when they had the Super Bowl year, because they went for it on fourth down, had such a
everybody goes for it now. Everybody goes for it.
Dan Campbell went for it a couple times yesterday, and
yeah, he always. Dan Campbell's more aggressive than the Eagles.
Actually, last week, Dan Campbell
the point, just had to sell his house and move because Detroit's so pissed
off. Well, that's not a bad look on Dan Campbell. That's a bad look on those fans that forced him to sell his $4 million house.
Dan Campbell went for it on a 4th and 9 yesterday. He did a fake punt. And Jack Fox, as we all know, can throw a football. They sold it so well that Jack actually went back to kick it. And just faked it, picked it up, and just tossed it. And there was a receiver wide open, 15 yards, and Campbell's going nuts. This is 2 weeks ago, actually, week two.
Yeah. Can I say what pissed me off about Nick Sirianni yesterday?
Go ahead.
What the hell was so rough about a week two loss to the Atlanta Falcons?
There isn't.
He made... Our guys handled adversity. Adversity happens in life.
Adversity you created.
I mean, what the fuck are you talking about? It's a week two loss to Atlanta. It's Philadelphia. You're going to get some shit.
You know, John, he is kind of intolerable after they win. He really is. Like, if you, like, I want to send every Eagles fan in here the transcript from yesterday's game. Just
what,
to read.
What was he talking about?
I don't know what he talks about. It's, I get why the players are fired up. I understand. But it, yeah, you're right. Adversity, what adversity? I don't know.
They're 2-1. They're one drop pass away from being 3-0. So much adversity.
Would you rather be the Eagles or the Cowboys right now?
Yeah, well, the Cowboys are.
They're bad.
Cowboys got some issues. Mike Zimmer can't coach anymore. I'm convinced the game has passed him by. But
I think you have more adversity coming out of this game now with all the – I mean, you got Lane Johnson, who – that's a tough look.
You got more real adversity. Yeah, I would agree with you.
Devontae Smith, I don't know if he's going to be back. I mean, A.J. Brown, you hope he gets back. Britton Covey, the report is coming out now. I saw on Twitter. I don't know if it's confirmed yet, Jeff, but broken bone in his shoulder. I think it was Merrill Reese that reported that.
He was on KYW this morning.
I think that's where I saw that. So, you know, I think you have more adversity from the win this week. In terms of that, than you did last.
Well, you have more real adversity, not made up adversity.
Oh, by the way, John, our boy, I love Fred Johnson. He's great to talk to, but he was a turnstile yesterday.
I thought he held up okay.
He held up, but that's because Steen and Juergens are really good.
Well, I thought Steen played really well. But I was expecting, you know, some really bad issues with Fred, and I thought he played better. I got to look at it again, but I got to play. I thought he played better than I expected.
But,
I know.
I also got to give Carl Granderson credit too. Carl Granderson's a really good player.
He is a good player, but well, on the fumble though, with Grant, that was Granderson on the Hurts fumble.
That was Granderson on the first.
That's on Jalen.
Yeah. Well,
we were talking turnovers. The first one, that was Devontae. That was a bad route, and you never say.
Well, the
Devontae
second one was the
route.
One I was upset about. Because that shouldn't happen. And this is where I agree with you with the stats can be outliers stuff. They give Fred Johnson the pressure allowed on that. No, that's not pressure allowed on Fred Johnson. Not on that play.
No. Well, I think Lane was still out there.
Was Lane out there? No, yeah, I got to look at that play again.
Yeah, Lane was still out. But Lane, Lane pass blocked well on that play. And then Jalen started to flush left. And by that point, they shouldn't have gave. I don't know if they gave it a pressure, but it shouldn't have been. That was all, Lane did what he was expected to do on that particular play. And Jalen's got to have better ball security. He knows people are coming from behind. He should be So that one I blame on Jalen. The interception, man, that was – I go Devontae number one, coaching staff number two, before I can even get to Jalen Hurts. Because they're running Devontae Smith on an A.J. Brown route where you need the big body guy to bend off. So that's from that. And then Devontae never runs a bad route, ran a bad route, and left the quarterback hanging out to dry. So even that, just going back to it, you got to look at each play individually and say, "What? All right, what happened? Whose fault is this?" I don't think the interception was Jalen Hurts' fault.
I don't want to blame him for it, but it is back to the whole, this happens every game. And where is
the longer, I mean, he's turning it over too much. That's fair.
It's not championship football. And one of my overreactions for that game, I got to do overreactions for the league every week. That was going to be, but I don't want to just harp on it every week because I thought Jalen played well in the second half, was the Eagles can't win or go where they want to go with Jalen Hurts' constant turnovers. But I got to give the guy credit. I mean, 7-10 in the fourth quarter, had 100 passer rating.
Yeah.
Made a lot of good decisions. You know, and look at the cards he was dealt with. He basically had a pair of threes and ended up getting a full house. That's how Jalen rolled in the second half yesterday. So I don't want to harp on the guy too much, but there's just a lot of – I'm just concerned for week four and week five. I mean, week five, it's a bye week.
You know why I'm concerned for week four, Jeff? Because Tampa Bay got rocked by a bad team.
Oh, yeah, and – Denver is
exact opposite. I brought up all week. You know what? I expected Xander. I picked the Saints to win, so I'm not saying I didn't, but I didn't think they were going to play as well as they had been. It's just because that's the way this league works. People believe they're, you know, flowers or whatever, and everybody's blowing smoke up there, you know what? And they start believing it, and they get out there on Sunday the next week and they play like crap. Tampa Bay's going to be angry coming out of that game yesterday. That's why I'm worried about that. And obviously it's a home game and Todd Bowles has a history.
John, did you hear the quote of the day yesterday from Antonio Pierce?
I did not.
Oh, so after one of the first questions he asked was, you know, how you get your butt kicked. Basically how you get your butt kicked by Carolina. And he goes, well, we had a couple guys make
Andy decisions. Dalton knows how to play. Yeah.
He said, we had a couple guys make business decisions in the second half. That's okay. We're going to make business decisions too.
He's not an NFL coach.
He's not. The Raiders, I stayed away from that game based on we have to make picks every week. And I'm like, I don't know if I can pick this game or not because I feel like Andy Dalton's just going to come out and be Andy Dalton, an actual NFL quarterback. And
it is amazing.
It was a bad day for Bryce Huff yesterday. Or not Bryce Huff. Bryce Young. Yeah.
It's
always a bad day for Bryce Huff.
Yeah, that's a given, right, Jeff?
we all know Andy Dalton's limited. I look at, you know, Sam Darnold's one of the stories of the league so far, and he got hurt. Watch that go wrong for the Vikings. Guys who know how to play the position, it's like worlds above the Caleb, who's got a million times more talent than Andy Dalton. Or you don't even have to go outside the city. Bryce Young's got a million times more talent than Andy Dalton. Doesn't know how to play the freaking position.
Andy Dalton's been doing this for 15 years, and he's been pretty good at it. Is he a super? No, but a solid quarterback in Cincinnati. He was solid in New Orleans.
Yeah, boy, and everybody's like Carolina stinks. Carolina stinks, and they do stink with Bryce Young. But they got a bunch of NFL players. Everybody's got good players.
Guess what? The Giants stink too. But Malik Nabers changes a lot of things on that football
team. And they got Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau and Dexter Lawrence. They got
when you're facing the Browns offensive line that's literally down everybody, I guess we should have saw that result coming.
Yeah, maybe. Well, boy, Cleveland's in a mess with Deshaun Watson.
That's a mess you can't really get out of it. Well, maybe they can. I don't know.
Anybody feel bad for Cleveland? No.
Nobody feels bad for Cleveland. Jeff,
nobody feels bad for anybody.
Because I want to talk about Jalen Hurts. Last week, me and you debated a little bit with Jalen Hurts. I was critical of him. I got to give him credit, man. I thought, you know, look, the two turnovers are not great, but you got no Lane Johnson late in that second half of that game. You lose your right guard. No A.J. Brown. No Devontae Smith. I mean, you have Goddard and Saquon. I thought Jalen Hurts put the team on his back yesterday, with the exception of two plays, which, as John points out, maybe the interception is more on Devontae Smith and the coaches there. I thought Jalen Hurts had a great game yesterday. I thought he put the team on his back. I thought he made the right reads. I thought he actually climbed the pocket a little bit more than he did in week two. I really thought he looked good, and I want to give him some credit for that win yesterday. It's not easy in the NFL to lose players like he lost and go out there and win the game.
That's where I think this is really the ultimate team sport, right? Because the way Jalen played in the first half, the Eagles should have been down multiple touchdowns, but they weren't. They were down 3-0. All the adversity he had to overcome, you know, we can criticize Nick Sirianni's coaching decision still for 5 hours on this show. But at the end of the day, they were down 3-0, and, you know, things change. You know, this team was sparked by a whistle that wasn't blown that led to a Devonta Smith concussion. Then Saquon runs for a touchdown, and all of a sudden you're in a football game, and Eagles and Saints are going back and forth, and Jalen didn't flinch. You know, I agree with you, Sam. You gotta get the guys flowers sometimes. And, you know, yeah, I could be overly critical of his turnovers, and rightfully so. I could be overly critical of a lot of things he does. But guy played well in the fourth quarter, and that's what won the football game. It's, you know, yeah, Saints defenders collide into each other. You still got to make the pass. You still got to catch the pass, as we all know, with this team. And
yeah, and Marie brings up a good point. You know, people were forgetting quickly. That was a 3rd and 16 play that really could have ended the game. If they're 3rd and 16, I'm like, shit, if they don't convert.
Oh, yeah, I thought the game was over.
I did too. I was like, okay, you know.
Yeah. Because you have Johnny Wilson out there and Paris Campbell, Jahan Dotson.
Right, I mean, it's just
and
brutal.
You're 3rd and 16. I mean, that's desperation time there.
In the final minute, you don't care if Jalen Hurts throws a pick there. I mean, you're going to be upset about it, but – it's desperation time. And they were able to get a play and
highlights the collapse of the Saints defense on that play even more, though, because it's 3rd and 16. You know they need to convert and
big. Yeah, it was a terrible play. Like a lot of people gave Jahan Dotson credit. He did his job. But I mean, that's on the Saints. Even when somebody runs that route perfectly, you don't run into each other like the Keystone Cops.
That's just like Saquon Barkley dropping a football last week.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly right. That's a good analogy, Jeff. New Orleans, Dennis Allen, his team's going to go through a lot of adversity this week, Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of tremendous adversity.
The 2-1 Saints, who averaged 34 points per game, even after they scored 12 yesterday.
So that, you know, getting back to Nick, that's what bothered me the most about Nick. And that, by the way, that also dates back to Doug Peterson. Does this organization have any other cards to play than us versus them?
Yeah, the underdog thing, adversity.
I mean, I come up with something else, especially in week three.
There are certain players on that football team. I really want to ask them what they really think of the message on this team.
I mean, it's ridiculous. The over the top.
Hey, John, do you know all the core values yet? I feel like we get that once every news conference.
Well, I do know the core values. Adversity happens in life time and time. I mean, yeah, adversity does happen in life. Playing like shit is an adversity. I mean, at this point, for all the people that hates the media, they freaking need us. Because if we're not out there saying, oh, hey, guess what? They're not playing that well. Evidently, they got no other motivation.
Do you think if it wasn't for us, people would know if Bryce Huff has a big goose egg on the stat sheet?
I think they would know.
Yeah, they would know because he has been putrid No, we talked about it though, because we're like, well, they haven't stopped the run, so there hasn't been many moments for to pin your ears back and go and get the.
And they're still weren't. Yeah, they
there
got
were, there sack. Were though. There were a lot more yesterday. There was a couple third and longs that they were in.
No, I'm talking about sacks. They got. I said before the game, this is not a high sack game. You're not getting a lot of.
No,
sacks.
I mean though that there were more moments within the.
Oh yeah, they got tons of pressure. Jalen Carter was. Played all day in the backfield.
The first drive, I think, was the only time I didn't see consistent pressure out of them. And that was on the third inning and third and nine. But then after that, Jalen Carter comes in and bats a pass down. You're like, and really, Josh Sweat was in on that play. I think I'm trying to remember who else was in on that play outside of Sweat and Carter. But there were two guys that were in on that. And I'm like, okay, that's what you want to see. And the play
on the interception, on Reed's interception,
Brandon.
It was Brandon, it was Jalen, and it was Bryce Huff. He was the third guy. But, yeah, Whit always behind in the back of the line. But I did say, is that zero? And it was zero.
It was zero. I mean, as much as I like to rip the guy, it was zero.
But it was more Brandon and Jalen, obviously. At what point does this become a problem? Because here's where ego gets into it. Here's where... You know, Howie, because all anybody talks about is Howie, the Eagles are paying Bryce Huff $51 million. Well, Howie is paying Bryce Huff $51 million. Vic doesn't give up flying, you know what, as evidenced by the fact that at what point does that become a problem?
Shouldn't be a problem. That's one thing I like about Vic Fangio. And I loved his news conference on Thursday, by the way. He stuck to his guns, said, hey, you know, publicly, we're not making changes. It's on me. We're going to clean some things up. And to his credit, he did. But one of the things that you see in the game summary is Bryce Huff does not play much. Brandon Graham's playing.
But not from Vic's standpoint.
I was going to say, he told you he wasn't making changes. Bryce Huff was 45% snaps in week one, 52% in week two, down to 32% in week three. So he made some changes.
Yeah, you're playing the more productive.
I guarantee what Vic will say early is we were more in tomorrow. Well, we are more run defense. That's how we'll play it off. But my point of asking that question, Jeff, was, I know Vic doesn't care. At what point does Howie care?
Yeah.
He shouldn't.
Howie does care. Howie will care. He's not going to let Vic Fangio make him look like a dumbass by putting a $17 million edge rusher on the bench for a whole game. He's just not going to do that.
I agree with Xander.
No, I agree with Xander too. But guess what, Howie? That's on you. That's on you. You can't get every move right.
Yeah, but Jeff, even if he knows that to be true, that doesn't mean he's going to let it happen, dude.
I know. But again, that's your talent evaluation. You know, I have my questions about Bryce Huff, and I don't even watch Bryce Huff as much as these guys. But I'm like, okay, yeah, high pressure rate last year, but he was a part-time player last year. You know, he was the outlier in the whole Micah Parsons, Aiden Hutchinson, TJ Watt, Myles Garrett high pressure rate. I'm like, Bryce Huff ain't those guys. I think the Eagles thought they hit the diamond mine in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Like, yeah, but I firmly admit I thought it was a good signing, and it's not looking good for me. How do you explain? I never thought he was Aiden Hutchinson. I picked Aiden Hutchinson, by the way, to be defensive player of the year.
He's going to be the best player of the year.
I never thought he was those guys that you mentioned, but he was good as a one trick pony. Why can't he even do the one trick here? What the hell is going on?
Do you think it was Scala's scheme? Like, do you think it freedom? Because remember, you and John Franklin Myers on that
scale. Scala coaches football, to my knowledge. I don't understand what's going on here that Vic Fangio can't figure out how to use him at least to where he can get pressures. I don't get it. This is one of the great mysteries of life. It's been brutal.
Based on what I've seen through three games, I don't know if he's ever going to get a pre. You're talking about some of the tackling. He's having a hard time with tight ends. Forget the tackles for a second.
I'm going to give a shout out to our good friend, our buddy Andrew Tacheco here. If you really want to break down Bryce Huff, he was good for 10 games in his life.
Well, that's fine, but he was good for 10 NFL games in his life. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, when everybody says he he's playing on a contract year, you got to be wary of that. But he played. He played. He played in NFL games. It's not like he played in UFL games. It's not like we're talking about college production. NFL.
I mean, someone's got to figure it out, right? If someone can figure out Nelson Aguilar is a much better receiver in the slot than he was on the outside, then you can figure out Bryce. You can figure out something Bryce off, right? It's.
I would think. I would think.
I think he has one move, and he shouldn't have one move.
Yeah, I'm not sure if either of you guys saw. There was a breakdown video that I saw, I think on Twitter or some social media, of his 10 sacks from last year. And, you know, there was a lot of 6 or 7 of them were against backup tackles. Yeah,
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Everybody. That's everybody.
Yeah, that's you know, everybody.
Nobody gets sacks against Trent Williams. Nobody gets sacks against Penei Sewell. Nobody gets sacks against Lane Johnson. Nobody gets sacks against Christian Darrisaw.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, look, nobody. There's the best tackles though. You're not playing the best tackle ever.
And I even defended Huff a little bit on this. Like, let's not act like Caleb McGarry stinks or
I know.
No, he's pretty good.
Yeah, that's the thing. Chris, by the way. For anybody that wants to say Jalen Carter had a bad game last Monday night, fine.
Chris Lindstrom, baby.
Chris Lindstrom is the best guard in football.
Two-time All-Pro. Yeah, nobody in this team.
Yeah, I can get why Jalen's – by the way, I was talking to some Falcons people about this. Like, boy, Jalen Carter's pretty good. I'm like, yeah, here, he's getting ripped.
Well, he ripped himself, too.
Yeah,
he went through tremendous adversity because he overslept.
Was that the actual story? He overslept.
Yeah, he overslept for a
team. That's what Jalen said. Yeah. Jeff, I want to ask you about another guy in the edge rusher. Right? I mean, like this boggles my mind because obviously Bryce Huff is going to get the heat. He was the big offseason signing. He was getting paid $17.5 million. He got the $51 million deal. I get it. Nobody's even talking about Nolan Smith. I mean, there's a little bit of talk about him, but. This guy was a first-round draft pick to be an edge rusher, to get after the quarterback. He's in year two. He's done squat, and nobody talks about
it. Gave up the block punt.
I'm like, to me, that might be a bigger concern than Bryce Huff. The first round guy that you drafted to be the future has done nothing. He doesn't even look like he can be a viable NFL edge rusher ever.
He was the wing guy on the block punt.
Yeah,
too.
He was. I'm kind of with you, Xander. I just don't think he gets that criticism because, like you said, he doesn't get paid $17 million a year. But you're right. He's a first-round pick. I'm always that guy with these late first-round picks, like a Nolan Smith, like a Zay Flowers, like a, you know, I'm like, well, if you really want to get technical here, they were a couple picks away from being second-round picks. So, you know, the back end of the first round could be a crapshoot, too.
But oh, yeah.
I agree, though.
But a lot of people thought the Eagles might be interested in Nolan at 13 if things didn't break the right way.
If you go back and look at some of that draft preview before the draft, man, whew, you're right, John. People were like, oh, if Jalen doesn't fall, maybe
we can get the draft is, you know, I mean, obviously it's not an exact science. It's not like only the Eagles thought Nolan Smith was a good prospect.
Yeah, right. A lot of people did. Yeah.
No, but I think, I mean, look, you got to keep the same. I get it. The draft, you're going to miss on draft picks. I get that. But, you know, we rip them on Rager, and we rip them on all the other first-round busts. And Derek Barnett, who was –
Well, we rip them on Rager. We rip them on Rager because he was picked right after Jalen Rager. That's the thing. I'll tell you what. Does anybody remember who was picked right after Nolan Smith? Because I don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody remembers Mike Mamula. Well, they picked Mike Mamula over.
Wasn't even a bad player, Mike Mamula.
No, he wasn't. But, you know, everybody's like, well, they like Hugh Douglas, and they didn't pick him. Well, they eventually got Hugh Douglas. And they, you know, or how did the Eagles pick John Harris over this guy? You know, it's, we don't remember who was picked. You know why Jordan Davis gets a lot of flack? Because we all remember who they traded up to get Jordan Davis, and the guy who got picked right after Jordan Davis is Kyle Hamilton.
Hamilton. Yeah. Well, so, the best example is Brandon Graham. For many years, everybody was like Earl Thomas and even Jason Pierre-Paul. Because early in his career, those guys, well, Earl's going to be in the Hall of Fame. So, but it's interesting that how
JPP was huge on Super Bowl team, but so was Brandon Graham.
Yeah, but Brandon, nobody talks about it anymore, but, yeah, I mean, Bielix on Udiki Uzama was picked right after
on the Chiefs, right?
Yeah, on the Chiefs. Then you had Joey Porter Jr., your guy from Penn State. You had Will Levis, first pick in the second round, who stinks on ice. And here's the guy, Sam
Will LaPorta. Levis was never good.
No, Sam LaPorta was picked 34. Lions had a great draft that year.
They got Jack Campbell that year too, didn't they?
They got Gibbs. They got Campbell. They got LaPorta.
And they got ripped for the Gibbs pick. They got ripped on draft night.
Oh, yeah.
Because they picked the running back at 12. And Dan Campbell had the perfect answer. Emmitt Brad Holmes had the perfect answer to that. Well, Bijan went 8. We had to get our guy.
But the best pick of all by Detroit was Brian Branch. He was there. They got Sam LaPorta and Brian Branch in the second round of the draft.
I'm starting to think the pendulum is swinging again now on running backs. Like, look at some of the best running backs in the league and the type of impacts they're having on their team. Now, maybe that's still true. They won't be as good in their second contract. Saquon Barkley maybe is a case against that, but Bijan Robinson's been great. Derrick Henry signed in Baltimore. He had like 150 yards and 2 touchdowns yesterday against the Cowboys. Saquon Barkley's been a game changer for the Eagles this year. Is the pendulum swinging that now the running backs are going to be valuable again for football?
Well, people? I got Saquon's answer for you. He's not on the stinking Giants anymore.
Yeah. Oh, my God. People watch that run. And, you know, people think I hate Saquon. I don't hate Saquon. First of all, he's the nicest guy in the world. Now, the receiving aspect, it's not that big of a deal, which I told you. The running, you know, when he gets to that second level, it's very impressive. But, man, watch Landon Dickerson on that play.
Oh.
Watch Landon. And it was Cam, and it was Landon, and it was Jordan Mailata as well. You don't see those types of holes in the NFL.
Saquon will be the first to tell you that, too.
Yeah. Well, look, that was a great block, but I will give Saquon credit, man. He got to that second level, and those dudes were left in the dust. He exploded. You saw some real explosion from him there.
There was one player on that football team that could not wait to play another football game. That was Saquon Barkley.
Oh, well, that's true. Coming off tremendous adversity, Jeff.
If the Eagles could have played the day after they played the Falcons, Saquon would have been ready to go. Yes.
It was a bad play, but that's the thing.
He's won two games for him, and he
played for the New York Giants for 6 years. He had more adversity there than dropping a pass.
But I was talking to some of my Giants beat writer friends. We were having this like joke, and they're like, "Oh, Saquon choked in the big game again." And I'm like, "Saquon's been in big games."
Yeah, it's true.
They thought that was a good comeback. Every Giants writer loves Saquon. Like, they're happy.
Well, yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah. They're like, it's not his fault the Giants are the Giants.
Giants snuck out a win yesterday. Malik Nabers, he looks like he's going to be legit.
Imagine if they ever get a quarterback.
Once again, this is why Giants fans are what they are, because a lot of them wanted to keep Saquon. They're like... That was the first thing yesterday. Can you imagine if we had Saquon? I'm like, yeah, you'd still be stuck with Daniel Jones, though.
Yeah.
Malik Nabers made him look a lot better yesterday. He went up that one ball he went up and got. I'm like, boy, Daniel Jones better go. He better give him a percentage of that game check, because that was a huge catch right there.
I was beating the drum when they drafted him. I said, this guy's going to be good. I'm glad they didn't trade up and get a quarterback. I'm glad they kind of stay put. At six, I thought that was the right move. The guy fell into their lap. You know, and then Marvin Harrison. That's going to be a fun rookie.
Which ex-Jet quarterback are you buying? Or are you buying neither? Geno Smith and the 3-0 Seahawks and Sam Darnold and the 3-0 Vikings?
Sam Darnold, because he's had a year in that Shanahan system, and I think Kevin O'Connell knows how to get the most out of Sam Darnold. Geno, I like Geno, but I got to go with Sam Darnold on this one. I don't think this is a three-game stretch. I mean, I think it's going to hit a wall at some point, but look, you're getting tremendous bang for your buck for $10 billion right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, the money, yeah. But the most impressive part about that team, though, to me, is Brian Flores, man.
Oh, Brian Flores is awesome.
I love Xander.
I love that style of defense. Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know what that style of defense is, because nobody's ever played it before.
Ian Eagle and I were talking about this week with the Vikings. And all we got into like a 10-minute conversation on Brian Flores. I mentioned his name and you're like, well, there's the key right there. They had an excellent offseason, you know, getting guys like Andrew Van Ginkle, Jonathan Grenard,
Yeah, I don't know if Brian's a good head coach because he's telling the quarterback he stinks every day, but I think
it's awesome he told the quarterback he stinks
every day. As a defensive coordinator, man, he throws some shit. You just don't see it. And these quarterbacks, I mean, C.J. Stroud has been off the charts, and he didn't know what he was looking at.
No, they threw the kitchen sink at him. But Stephon Gilmore could still play.
He's amazing.
How did the Cowboys let him go? How did they let him walk out that building?
The lack of people, because when you turn 30 in this league, boy, I mean, experience means so much. You see it at the quarterback position. We see it with Andy Dalton. They know how to play. We see it with Brandon Graham here. He knows how to play. And Jason, you still have to have the physical aspect. Jason Kelce, great example. Lane Johnson, on and on. Fletcher, on and on and on with this team. Experience matters. And it seems like people are just, all right, we got to throw this guy on the heap. And he's still a million times better than the young guy you think is going to turn into something down the road. I don't know. I can't figure this league out sometimes. Gilmore can still play.
Yeah, he can still play. I don't know how the Cowboys let him walk out. By the way, Jerry Jones with the ultimate cop-out yesterday, but Derrick Henry's just gashing and running all over his defense. We couldn't afford him. What are you talking about? He was literally going to give you a discount.
You know, Jerry admitted to people he does this on purpose.
Jerry is a marketing mastermind.
Yeah. That's why I don't like how they run things. Like, I knew they were going to sign Dak. I knew they were going to sign CD. But the fact that he lets it drag out as much as
because he wants his team on the front page, even though there's no more.
By the way, if anybody tells you Dak Prescott had a good game yesterday, they are full of so much shit.
He's the king of garbage time.
He is king of it. The Cowboys came back. No, they didn't, because to come back, you actually have to take the lead.
My stat point. Yeah, he's going to have good stats at the end of the year.
We were arguing this in the CBS Slack room yesterday. We should write about the Ravens blown leads because they had the most blown leads. I'm like, well, they didn't blow it yesterday. Well, yes, they did. I'm like, no, they didn't. Because when they had to get the first down they needed, Lamar Jackson said, I am the MVP of this goddamn football league. I'm going to get it.
And Jeff, did you catch any of the Niners-Rams game yesterday?
I watched some of it.
How'd they lose that game?
I think the questions are out on Brock Purdy, but he had no McCaffrey.
He had a great game.
No Debo and no Kittle yesterday. I didn't see the game yet, so I don't want to sit blanket it.
Kyle Shanahan was 50-0.
He threw for almost 300 yards and 3 touchdowns without those guys. That's pretty good, man. Maybe he earned a paycheck.
Jawan Jennings at 100 yards and 3 touchdowns. There's only Jerry Rice and T.O. had that in 49ers history.
Yeah,
I think he's the best third receiver in football. Jawan Jennings.
The 49ers are the weirdest 1-2 team to me. I can't figure it out. They're really good.
They've had a lot of injuries, man. I mean, they have no McCaffrey. I heard Kittle was out too, and I'm like, oh shit. I knew Debo was out, but Kittle was out yesterday.
By the way, the kid they got running the football, second in the NFL, I believe, to Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley, the number one in the NFL, no doubt.
Yeah, Jordan Mason's a good player. They still have a really good defense. Their pass rush is good. Kyle Shanahan was 50-0 when he had a 14-point lead at any point in the game, and that ended yesterday.
Yeah, good stuff. Jeff, just your final thoughts on the Eagles game before we let you go, man. Eagles moved to 2-1. I thought they bounced back. Jalen Hurts, in my opinion, bounced back. The Eagles defense bounced back. Your final takeaways here before I let you go on the Eagles week 3 win.
Just get by week 4 at this point. Win or lose, just get by week 4. It could be ugly. Like John said, Tampa Bay is going to be like a bunch of angry hornets because somehow they lost yesterday.
They didn't just lose.
They got annihilated
at home.
There were a lot of surprises to me yesterday, you know, and some I should have saw coming. Like, I know the Giants are bad. I thought they'd give the Browns a game. I didn't think they wiped the floor with the Browns.
No, I mean the Giants. As you mentioned, I wouldn't say I'm trying to look at. I was surprised at Justin Herbert. The Broncos, obviously. But I mean, Broncos looked like the worst team in football. Bo Nix was just not atrocious. Panthers, obviously, with Andy Dalton. Surprised by that. The Dolphins are cooked without Tua. I mean, that is a bad situation.
By the Seahawks were. When I did my ceiling floor for the season, I had the Seahawks ceiling at 12 and they're 4-5. And they're like, what gives? I'm like, I really don't know what direction they're going in, but I love Mike McDonald.
And the Rams, as you met, I didn't look at the end of that game. I don't know. The Rams have nobody right now. They are decimated. The fact that they won that game, that's a bad loss for Sam. And I don't even know how they lost. I got to check it out.
I watched Detroit, Arizona yesterday too. And that was a gut check win for Detroit. Arizona is a lot better team than
people. They're better than people realize, Arizona.
Yeah, and you know what? Arizona got screwed yesterday on that 2-minute warning that was called.
By the way, Detroit, as good as they are on paper, they haven't been impressive.
They have said that too. Like, they're like, hey, look, we're not even close to where we think we should be. I mean,
now maybe they get better.
A whole segment without mentioning CJ Gardner Johnson unplugged.
I'm tired of CJ's act.
We're all tired of CJ's act. Oh, yeah, you all ripped us. You deserve to be ripped.
Yeah. Again, the us versus them. I'm like, play a new card.
Yeah. He's just one of those guys. Like, I thought the I actually thought the biggest quote he made was on, was it Devontae's hit or was it Slay's hit he was talking about?
I think Devontae's.
Which, by the way, I don't blame Christian Boyd.
No.
The whistle should have been thrown.
Yeah, the whistle should have been blown. He's trying to make a play. And by the way, he hit him with his shoulder on top of the back. His head.
Everybody's like, that's a dirty hit. Like, it's not a dirty hit. That's not what we're trying to tell you.
It's not a dirty hit.
No, the Saints, or the whole Saints are a dirty team.
The Penning thing was dirty.
Well, Penning does that every week. Yeah. That's what bothers me.
Dude, I thought he was going to, like I said earlier, I thought he was going to leave the freaking stadium with Darius Slay. He was carrying him so long. At what point are you not, like, just be a smart football player, bro. You're clearly out of bounds, put the dude down, and that was a big 15 yards.
I had a lot of Saints reporters
tell
me
they made up for it, but
I had a lot of Saints reporters tell me, like, oh, he owned up to his penalty last week and said he's got to be better. And they're like, well, clearly he's not. So, and Trevor Penning's not a good football player,
he's an old school, dirty offensive lineman. I think I don't watch him enough, but
I mean, to be fair, I'd probably be like, and I love Slay, I probably would love to push a Slay around like that too. If I was an offensive lineman, well, it's like your one chance.
Offensive linemen love getting locked up with corners, or but you know, that was, come on, too much.
It was, and dirty. I thought it's so dirty.
I'm glad Slay's okay, because I thought he got hurt.
By the way, did the players spin on Devonta Smith yesterday?
That looked like it. I couldn't really
Didn't see it.
It did look like it. And you know, Jeff, because I do agree with John, where like that play should have been blown dead, but it's not on the defensive lineman who came back to get him. But did you see the number 98? Devontae's laying there with no helmet on. The play is clearly over, and 98 looks at him and just jumps on top of him. I'm like, what the fuck was that? That part to me was
Was the whistle blown when he did that? Like,
I think it was. I mean, Devontae's laying there with no helmet on, looking like not lifeless.
And, but, you know, that place is so loud. Like, you could say, but if you're an official, you got to run in and you got to wave your arms. You got to make it very clear that the play is over. So that's an officiating
issue.
That
was the only time when I played football, that was the only time I ever, like, was close to really getting, you know, unsportsmanlike conduct or a 15-yard penalty because I told the ref to blow the effing whistle. And, you know, because he's like, don't you hear? I'm like, no, blow the whistle. Blow the effing whistle. And I thought I was going to get 15, and I never got it, so.
Yeah, I'm sorry people are going to get it. I don't think it was a dirty hit.
I don't think it was either. Penning, I blame the official for it.
Penning, I thought, was dirty.
And around the league, the Saints are a dirty team.
Well, they have the reputation going back to Sean Payton and Greg Williams in the bounty game and trying to kill Brett Favre. But guess what? They won a Super Bowl championship.
To further the point, Trevor Penning took Darius Slay out of the game. The very next play, they went right at Keely Ringo and picked up 30 plus or however long that was. Look, it's the NFL. There's a little bit of a war of attrition, and that's where you guys criticize CJ, and I understand, but that's where I like it. And like, even Jalen Carter at the end of the game, I get it. It might be a little immature. Man, fuck them. They're going to come at you all day, which is fine. They can come at me. But for them to go back, I got no problem with
By the way, do you want CJ?
New Orleans, see you later.
I got no problem. You want CJ's coverage stats? Because Saints fans, I think they want me to tweet this in the worst way.
Yeah, but first of all, comparing those two guys, you know, it's interesting because of the reputation of Jalen Carter. He is the nicest, most down-to-earth person.
He really is.
A little bit immature, obviously, you know, not
the most
getting
frustrated
up.
I've ever seen Jalen was last Monday night. Martin Frank and I went up to him and talked to him, and we gave him credit. He gave us all the time in the world. The cameras came because they saw us talking to him. He's like, trying to get out of here. Like, and it was,
nobody wants the cameras around.
You know, he was fine. And, like, he felt bad because I was in the middle of asking a question when it happened. And, you know, he gave me, you know, a solid answer. But, you know, I think he was going to give me a much deeper answer before everybody started running.
He is the nicest kid. And I'll just say that's not the case with certain other people that shall remain nameless.
I think we know who you're talking about on this. this show.
I was good with, just to the point, though. I was good with Jalen Carter at the end of that game. Like I said, some NFL is a physical sport. These are grown men, the greatest athletes on planet Earth, clashing for 60 minutes. If Jalen Carter, well, after losing four of his main guys in the game, wants to talk a little shit after the win, I'm good with it. I thought
did anybody ever like ask Jalen what happened? Like, why was he getting held back? Not like he would have answered it, but
I just obviously I wasn't there, so I would have asked him, but I don't know if anybody asked him.
Well, you know what? I do know too. We're not really watching the game on TV when we're in the press box.
No, the transcript that I got, nobody asked him.
But, yeah, I didn't see it either, but maybe. Yeah. Again,
I'll ask him this week. And yeah, the nicest kid in the world, he'll answer as long as the TV cameras aren't there.
Yep.
Yeah, he spoke again after the game, though, Jalen Carter. He said his play was trash again. I don't know if Jeff Clark.
It was not.
No, I know.
It was not trash.
I want more. I want more sacks. I want more numbers. So
I'm sure he does. That's how you get paid.
I'm good with him having that mentality because, you know, I think the only question left on Carter is he's got to do it week in and week out, you know, not just when he wants to, but when he wants to. Holy shit. He's unblockable. He is as good as advertised.
That was my favorite, though, when he said his play was trash week two. Like,
yeah, he said it yesterday, too. I'm like, Jalen,
he's like everybody else. I mean, those guys get paid. Like, I would have that discussion with Jody all the time. Like, I don't give a blind you-know-what about sacks because there's so much context to them all.
I remember he said to me and Martin last week, you know, if I had 3 sacks tonight, I feel like I should have had 6.
Yeah, but those guys get paid on sacks, so it is meaningful for them.
I mean, look at Bryce Huff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I'd rather have somebody play like Jalen Carter yesterday and get a bunch of, you know, sacks that are, like you mentioned, Grenard. I think he had 3 sacks yesterday when everybody's like, oh, he's probably going to be defensive player of the week, blah, blah, blah. They were all manufactured sacks because of the wacky shit that Flores runs.
Flores is insane. How does Andrew Van Ginkel not have a player of the week yet?
Yeah, he's a good player. Good player.
He's a great player.
Yeah. But the Eagles didn't do too bad finding Andrew Van Ginkel light.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to call him
the
Wish.com or Temu version of Andrew Van Ginkel.
I think it's a little better. It might be like the third seller on Amazon, maybe like that. More like that.
Van Ginkel. I Van Ginkel's good.
That's he's the guy really I will. If I was down there yesterday, I would have wanted to talk to Zach Bond because I'm sure there are a lot of emotions going through.
Yeah,
his head too.
Yeah, Zach's doing a good job, but he's not Andrew Van Ginkel.
No, but he is playing well, and for this team, it's a big upgrade, you know, compared to what they had last year at linebackers. I thought linebackers have been good early in the year, and N'Kobe Dean too. So good stuff, Jeff. Thanks for joining the show today, man. Thanks for giving us some extended time. We appreciate it. Great breakdown of the game and really of the whole NFL. We'll talk to you again next week. All right, Jeff.
Yeah, sounds good. I got to get to Philly tonight. Maybe the Phillies will actually do their job.
Wow, the Phillies are still playing?
I'm not worried about the Phillies.
Yeah, they are. They played last night, John. Philly had a chance to go perfect.
I know they're still playing. I'm joking.
I should bring you in the clubhouse there, John. You'd be great. You can ask certain players why they suck in the nicest way possible.
That would give them a lot of adversity, so. At Jeff Kerr CBS, make sure you follow Jeff and read him at CBS. Does a tremendous job. And follow his Phillies coverage as well. They're going to make a run, I'm told.
Yeah. We'll see. I wasn't too happy with last night, but, you know, you could listen to Phillies Weekly Review on Oscar Budahin's Twitter.
Oh, Oscar. Spanish color commentator for the Eagles,
yeah.
For those who don't know.
Yeah, it's... We do a good show. We get a lot of Phillies people on there. It's good, honest conversation. We're not the whole Rob Thompson should be fired crew because he's the best manager in baseball. You know,
Rob Thompson. Well, the coach is always, you know, yeah. Tremendous adversity for Rob good. Thompson.
Rob Thompson does not create adversity or
life is adversity. I don't know if you've heard, but
Jeff, we got to run. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks, guys.
See you, thanks, Jeff. Sorry. Good stuff. I got my dad. That's what I'm on Nick Sirianni. That bullshit. Oh, tremendous adversity. Tremendous adversity.
John.
Hey, you played like shit. That's not adversity.
Sometimes you got to manufacture some stuff to make
it happen. I don't think it was manufactured. I think he believes it. That's
maybe he doesn't. If it works, I could give. I really don't care.
Well, that I agree with. I mean, if something works, I would think if you keep using the same card, it's not going to work. But if it works, yeah. I mean,
hey man, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It seems to be working. The team came back strong today, yesterday. So good stuff for the Eagles. They're 2-1, everybody. We're going to take our first commercial break. We didn't take one before. Jeff, I want to thank everybody. We have a great crowd this morning. So thanks, everybody. I want to remind you all, we're giving away a Saquon Barkley jersey. Because he
the big giveaway tomorrow?
We're going to do it tomorrow. So Tuesday, it'll be, if the game is on Sunday, it's always going to be Tuesday. So you have one more day to get your memberships in. And then on after hours of Birds 365 tomorrow, I will do the same thing. I'll bring up the screen. I'll go to members only chat mode and we will do the jersey giveaway, full transparency for everybody to see. I insert all the member names into one wheel. I double checked for everybody to make sure their name was there. And we'll give away the jersey tomorrow night. So become a member today if you want to be entered into the jersey giveaway. Cody's Nuts said who won last week, 2 weeks ago, Cody. Last week, Saquon didn't have 125, but it was Bill Fleming. And he gave the jersey to his grandson. And the great thing about it was the jersey delivered on Saturday. So I got the email, the jersey's been delivered, and I'm like, oh, that's great. And then Saquon obviously has a huge game yesterday. So hopefully Bill Fleming's grandson was rocking the jersey for the game yesterday. We'll be doing that tomorrow. So definitely get your memberships in today. And then also I want to remind everybody I've launched a new Twitter. So go and give me a follow. You can see my name there, @RealXander. Give me a follow on Twitter, my new Twitter account that follows that will exclusively cover the Philadelphia Eagles. So go and give me a follow over there on Twitter. Appreciate that as well. Let's get to our commercial break. When Johnny Mack and I come back, we'll continue to kick around this game. We'll talk about the injuries, talk about, you know, what to look for after now coming out of that game. The Eagles moved to 2-1. A lot better stuff to talk about this day than after last week. So we will do that when we get back. Before I get to our break, I want to tell you about BetUS, the number one betting partner of Jacob Sports here. So go to betus.com.pa. That's betus.com.pa. And if you're a YouTube listener, which all of you are, you can use this code YouTube150 and they'll give you 150% sign up bonus on your very first deposit. And then 125% sign up bonus on your second and third deposit. And it's all up to $2,000. So you can deposit less and bet with more now on BetUS. Go and take your Saquon props, everybody. It seems to be hitting each week right now for Saquon Barkley. So go to betus.com.pa. Birds 365 will be back in 3 minutes. Appreciate you all. See you in three.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media Channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.
Just got a free coffee with my EarnIFI points.
Your what?
The points I get with the new EarnIFI app from BP and Amoco. I got 250 for signing up and more every time I fill up or buy anything in the C-store.
Oh, can you use points for fuel?
Of course.
And discounts and deals?
On anything.
Oh, like chips?
Mm-hmm.
Sodas?
You got it.
The actual slushy machine.
Only what's actually for sale. But you do get double the points for the first 90 days. Just go to EarnIFIRewards.com to download the app.
Available at participating locations only. App content is subject to change.